This is EAA Radio, and I'm Digital Dave, and on the phone with me is Lance Geiger, otherwise known as the History Guy. How are you doing today, Lance?
I'm doing great, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
What you got for us today?
I think we're going to talk this story about this guy. His name is Walter Taffy, was his nickname, Taffy Holden, who in 1966, he was trying to work on an English electric lightning, and it accidentally took off on him.
What?
Exciting story.
you're saying he, how do you accidentally take off?
Well, it's an interesting story to get there on how he accidentally took off. Yeah, he was a wing commander, was his rank, and that means he commanded a unit. And he was a pilot. He was really an aircraft engineer or maintenance. That's what he led, was a maintenance crew that would repair planes. But he, early in his RAF career, had been qualified as a pilot, and he kind of talked me into that under the idea that as a maintenance guy, as an airplane mechanic, he could better understand the pilots if he was a pilot himself. So,
well, yeah, that makes sense.
But he'd only piloted small, single-engine, planes. He'd never piloted anything like an English Electric Lightning.
Okay, an English Electric Lightning is a jet fighter?
It was the English Electric was the company that built it. The Lightning was intended to be a super-fast interceptor. So the idea was they had air bases in England with their strategic bombers. They knew that if there was a war, the Russians would come for those bases. So the idea of the Lightning was to be able to get that in the air and intercept the Russian bombers very, very quickly in order to give time for the British bombers to get into the air. And so it was a very fast plane. It actually had a unique configuration because both of the engines were center line, but they were staggered north-south. So instead of having them, say, on either wing, so it was staggered in the center. And they had afterburners, which the British don't call it an afterburner; they call it a reheat. But the plane was built so it could take off with the afterburner burning on takeoff, so it could take off almost vertically. And they called that essentially being strapped to a rocket or like a bullet shot from a plane.
Okay.
So it was a very, very fast plane. It had a very, very fast takeoff. And it was colloquially the pilots called it. It was called the English Electric Lightning, but they would often call it the Frightening.
I believe that. It sounds like a lot of airplane to handle.
It is a lot of airplane to handle. Of course, far more airplanes than Taffy Holden had ever been trained to handle. Yeah.
Okay, now let's get to the how he actually did this.
How he actually did it. His crew, what they were doing is that they would have planes that came in with issues. And it was their job to fix those issues and get them back to their squadrons. And that's fairly typical of what you do with maintenance. So his group did have test pilots that were assigned to it, but by coincidence, they didn't have a test pilot that's qualified on the Lightning. So if they were repairing a Lightning, they would have to catch a qualified test pilot who happened to be between duties and bring them in.
Okay.
And, of course, there's always pressure on these units to get the planes back in service as quickly as they can. There was more pressure because this unit was being decommissioned. So as soon as they were done with all the planes that were on their roster, then the unit was going to be disbanded. And there was pressure on him as the wing commander to get that done as quickly as possible. So the last plane left was this English Electric Lightning, happened to be the very first one to ever come off the assembly line. It was the first English Electric Lightning built. XM-135 was its tail number.
Okay.
And it was having a very strange electrical issue that when you tried to take off, the cockpit power would go off and have to shift to the backup. And, of course, when you're taking off on a plane that takes off very, very quickly, you can't have all your instruments turn off and turn back on while you're taking off.
No, that's kind of confusing.
That's bad, yeah. So they were having trouble tacking down this issue, and so the test pilot came, and he couldn't take off with it that way, and they couldn't really hold the pilot since it wasn't their pilot. They couldn't really hold the pilot until they could figure it out, so they were kind of stuck in a bind. And so what they decided to do was have Taffy, because he was qualified as a pilot, he was going to just sit on a runway. He was just going to taxi about 100 yards and flip a bunch of switches to see if they could figure out where the fault was. And
okay.
So he was only supposed to sit on the runway. He was only supposed to go a few yards at a time. And so they figured, this ought to be okay, right? So he didn't have a helmet on. They'd taken the canopy off. He didn't have a radio because he wasn't going to take off.
Right.
The ejection seat had all his pins in it so that, you know, it couldn't go. And he was just going to safely run down. They were going to follow him with a Land Rover. And he was going to flip some switches. He was going to go about 50 yards and see if the panel worked the way it was supposed to. He was going to write down what happened, and they were just going to do that all day. figured, oh, that would be totally safe.
Right. Yeah, you know, always is.
Always, yeah. What could possibly go wrong?
Right.
So what could go wrong is that the lightning, if you were taking off in reheat, which is the fastest way to take off, if you push the throttle just a little too far, it had a click. It had a hold that would hold the plane in reheat. And to take it out of reheat, you had to be able to push a button underneath to pull it back out. So if you push the throttle just a little too far, essentially it would stick you in high gear. And if you didn't know where the button was to get out of high gear, then you would be going very, very quickly.
Yeah, to say
the least. And he had only the most basic instruction, so he knew that that was there, but he didn't know where the buttons were to turn it off.
Okay.
And so he, you know, in the process of this little where they were, you know, taxiing for a few yards, he accidentally pushed the throttle just a little bit too far. It went into reheat, but the plane's going very, very quickly, and he simply wasn't able to get it out of reheat quickly enough.
Okay.
Because he hadn't had the training to do that.
Well, that must have been a bit scary, I think.
Must have been rather startling, yes.
Yes.
It was terrifying, actually. It caused him some, he had some mental distress later in life because he, you know, his life was under threat very quickly for you know, this period of time. But at the time, he handled, I mean, extraordinary how he managed that. Because it was something, of course, he'd never been trained for, it wasn't expected. And the first problem was that since they were only using little chunks of the runway at the time, the tower had first given permission for a fuel bowser to cross the runway much farther down the runway than Taffy was supposed to go. But now he's suddenly, you know, shooting like a bullet out of a gun. And so the fuel bowser's in front of him. So he almost ran into a truck that was hauling a load of fuel.
Oh, that's, wow.
That would have been bad. Barely yeah. missed that. And then there was also another plane taking off. He barely missed that. And so he's so busy trying not to hit things. That he, of course, can't control the and he's running out of runway, so he really had no choice but then to pull back on the stick, which wouldn't have worked except that the previous pilot had happened to trim the aircraft for takeoff.
Oh, wow.
When, you know, or you know, it might not have been able to take off, but he was, and luckily the plane was set for takeoff, just didn't have the right pilot.
Exactly. Wow. They say
he had really no choice but to take off and take off in a way that only a few lightning pilots would ever have taken off at full reheat. You can go almost vertical in that. So that had to be quite an exciting time to be expecting to roll 50 yards down the runway and instead to take off.
Yeah, I wonder if
almost straight up.
I wonder if at some point his mind said, "Okay, now what?"
Yeah. Well, he was making decisions. I mean, these decisions were made in split seconds.
Yeah.
And so that really speaks highly for him because he had been trained on like the Havilland Tiger Moth, which was a biplane built in 1931. That's what he'd been trained on. And interestingly, he'd been trained on the sorts of planes that have a tail wheel, not a nose wheel. So
right.
That's the sort of planes. He'd flown in some jet planes, you know, obviously, not just as a passenger, but he had never trained to pilot anything that was even a jet engine, more or less, something as hard to handle as a Lightning.
Right.
But he still made those decisions in a split second, and that's absolutely extraordinary. You can imagine that he doesn't have on a helmet, he doesn't have a radio, he doesn't even have a cockpit. So that's with the wind blowing in your face.
Yeah.
Those decisions.
And yet he had the presence of mind to try and come around and land.
Once he gets in the air, he doesn't have a lot of choice. So when he got in the air and was no longer afraid of running into a fuel truck,
right.
He was able to figure out where the switches were to get the plane out of reheat. So he was always his mind was processing what to do next, you know, like you're supposed to do as a pilot. So he didn't have any ability to do that on the ground just because he had to, you know, make decisions so quickly to avoid the obstacles in front of him. But once he was in the air, he figured out what was going on. But then when he's up there, he's got no radio. He can't even tell the tower what's happened, though the guys in the Land Rover told him pretty quickly what was going on. And so they can't even talk him down. He thinks about ejecting, but, of course, the ejection seat's got all the pins in it so that it can't eject because they weren't planning to take off. And so he really had no choice but to try to land this plane that was much more plane than he'd ever been trained for.
Wow. And he did manage to get it back down again.
He did. Yeah, he made a couple of attempts that he described as very sorry attempts. But on the third attempt, he did manage to get it down and did a great job of it, except that being trained on a Tiger Moth, he landed it as if you were landing one with a tail wheel instead of a nose wheel. And that was a problem because one of the ways that you slowed the lightning down was that it deployed a parachute. But he had, when he landed, he had touched the back of the plane down, and that crushed the box that the parachute was in.
Ooh.
So he pulls the parachute, it just comes off, rolls back, totally disconnects from the plane.
Wow.
So then he's essentially pulling on the handbrake, hoping he doesn't roll off the end of the runway.
And he manages to get it stopped.
And actually the plane was not terribly damaged. They were able to get the plane back into service.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy. Now, after all that's said and done, and he's probably sweat-soaked, and he climbs out of the airplane, I wonder if anybody asks him, well, did the panel shut down?
They were able to eventually figure it out, and it was a very complex issue because it was the first one that came out of the manufacturer. There was going to be an extra fuse there, and they had pulled that fuse out, but the wires were still there for it, and that's what was getting crossed. And you can see how confusing that was. That's really how complex the work that they were doing was.
Yep.
But what he says is the first thing he thought when he got out of the plane is, they're going to take away my pilot license. He's afraid they're going to take his wings.
Yeah, but did they?
They had a court of inquiry, and essentially they chided him saying, I know what was going on, but you really should have waited for a qualified pilot. But they didn't. They didn't give him any consequences. He didn't lose his wings. He didn't lose his status. He continued with the. I think it was the RAF maybe another 20 years before he retired. So yes. They laughed at him a little bit. They laughed with him, I guess, a little bit in the story, but which could have gone much worse. He didn't even lose his wings. They were able to get the plane back into service. And interestingly, that one, when it retired, went to the Royal Air Force Museum at Duxford. So you can not just see an English Electric Lightning at RAF Duxford, which is a fantastic museum. It's really worth your time if you're ever in the London area, get up to Duxford. But that tail number XM-135 is on display there. So you're seeing the actual aircraft that Taffy Holden accidentally took off.
Wow, that's incredible. I guess they had to give him credit for being an amazing pilot to handle that and bring the plane back and not get hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure that that he was breaking 100 regulations and whatever happened, but you had to respect his skill as a pilot. I mean, how are they going to take away his wings after he managed to do what he did?
Right, right. All right, Lance, I want to thank you. That's an incredible story. And again, you can be found at The History Guy on YouTube, correct?
The History Guy, yep.
All right, thank you very much. This is Digital Dave, and you're listening to EAA Radio.